sends her a message today.
Praise God. Okay, please grab your seats. Enough of that. Fantastic. It's lovely to be with you and really blessed to be here. When Brian shot me a message to say that I'd be speaking, I genuinely thought he was joking. I was like, there's no way. And then I remembered years ago when our local church joined this network, this family. The reason for us to join the network wasn't because of what we would get. Just wasn't. Because I was very aware that if I had a list of expectations, there would be a day when those expectations weren't met. If I had this is what they need to be doing for me, the day that didn't happen, something inside my mindset would change. The reason we joined this network as a local church in the west of Ireland is because we wanted to contribute something. It's because we believed our local church carried an anointing and a grace and an authority that was greater than just our locality. We believed that what God had put on us was something that could bless the nation. And I never quite knew what it would look like or when it would be expressed, but I knew the commitment of our heart was to find a way to express that. And so I found myself here today being a blessed and, please God, by the grace of God, being a blessing. So God is good, isn't he? So I'm getting to talk a little bit, and it feels like, Christmas dinner, when you've eaten a lot, and then you've eaten a bit more, and a little bit more, and you think to yourself, I'm not sure I can have anything else. I've started to feel a little bit full. So I'm that little box of chocolates at the end that someone tempts you with. So some of you don't know me. I'm married to Caroline, and she is like the amazing, loveliest person that I know. And we have three children, and we've also got some dogs. We've got an Irish wolfhound who is like a horse, and he is not a Christian, doesn't know Jesus, and is slowly but surely destroying my home and my peace and my walk with God. So we're really blessed, and we're blessed to be in this network, and we're blessed to be part of this family. And we're blessed at what God is about to do right now. So why don't we pray for a second. Father, we have a sense of being full, God. Almost, we know you've done stuff in our hearts. We know you've done stuff in our lives. And Lord, we're just making room for a little bit more. Just knowing that you've taken the time to prepare something else to say to us that will make a difference in our hearts and lives. And for some of us, it's for us. For some of us, it's something we're going to carry back to somebody else. And so, Lord, we may be full, but this might be for somebody else. Lord, would you awaken us? Would you quicken us? Would you stir us again in faith in the name of Jesus? Amen. Praise God. Probably about a year ago, I had a moment in that I was invited, got a phone call to visit somebody who was dying. And you find yourself very privileged in those moments. I genuinely thought, that's huge. Somebody called me, didn't go to our church, and to come and visit this lady. And I began to visit this lady, and it turned out that the sickness that she had lasted much longer than anybody expected. The family didn't attend the church, and I would go to visit her at the kind of hospice deal and spend time with her. And as I did that, on each occasion, I found it incredibly difficult to connect with her. The lady was quite elderly, and she was in her bed, and whatever was going on with her body would cause her to writhe and just move what to me seemed like she was in deep, deep pain. And I would sit with her in her room, and typically I seemed to arrive when nobody else was there, and I'd be sitting in the hospital room as she was in the bed, and at no time did she speak, at no time did she talk. And I couldn't even tell if I was annoying to her. I would sit beside her and I would talk about the weather, and I would talk about my children, and I would talk about things happening, and then I would talk about Jesus, and then I'd get out my Bible and I'd read it, and I'd talk about God. And I can be honest with you, I started to dread the visits because I started to think, God, I just don't know how to connect with this precious woman in a way that she actually I can't find her. In the midst of her pain and suffering, I can't even find this woman. I can't relate to her. I don't even know if she is aware that I'm sitting in the room. I had a moment when, on my way in on one of those occasions, and I honestly said to the Lord in the car, Lord, I'm not sure I want to do that today. If it would be okay, Lord, I would love to not do that. And each time I go, I would, you know, try and be faithful in that, and then I would call the family and say, just leave them a little message, just let you know, I dropped in to visit your mom today, and I was privileged to do that, and God loves you guys. And on the way in the car, over a year ago, I had a little moment. There was a song I was singing, and it's the song that goes something like, when you walk into the room, you know that song? Everything changes. The darkness starts to tremble. When you walk into the room, this little moment of just being very aware that when Jesus turns up in a place, everything changes. Hearts start to burn. And the Lord said to me, Paul, and I just didn't expect it, I didn't see it coming. He said, you believe that's true? When I walk into the room, everything changes. Everything's different. Everything radically changes. And the Lord said to me, Paul, I'm with you. He said, it wouldn't be heretical, Paul, and I think this is God, for you to sing, when I walk into the room, everything changes, because Jesus is with me and in me and upon me and for me. And so something inside of me just became very aware that God was saying to me in that moment, he was going with me into that hospital room. And because he was with me, because I was going into the hospital room, everything was about to be different. And I didn't feel proud in that moment. I felt deeply humbled in the moment that God himself was going to be with me and wanted to assure me that just because he was with me, when I walked into the room, everything was about to be different. And I got into the room and I did what I always did. I talked about the weather and I talked about my children, and then I got out the Bible and I read the scriptures, and then suddenly it occurred to me that I just had never worshipped with the lady. And I began to sing Amazing Grace. And I was slightly aware, you know, you're in a room, other people are passing by, and I'm not a very good singer. I'm like, oh, what am I doing? But I'm like, yeah, Jesus is with me. The Holy Spirit is with me in this room. And I'm not kidding you, the woman's face just lit up. I saw her physically move, and this woman who had never spoken to me on a single visit began to sing. And as she sang, it took every ounce of her body strength to move her frame and to move her mouth to get the words out of her mouth to join me, and she sang with me for Amazing Grace. And as I'm sitting there, I was weeping in the awareness that the Holy Spirit had enabled me in his grace and mercy to connect with her and to find her. And somehow I felt like I had connected with her very soul. In the midst of her pain and her darkness and her loneliness and her isolation, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in his grace to be upon me, somehow we had connected in a precious way. And there are people in our lives, and we say to ourselves, if only I could connect with them. If only I could find a way to reach them. The scripture says, if we've ears to hear, if you had ears to hear, they'd hear. And I'm looking at people in my life who I love. At the moment, we're praying for my wife's father. Last week, he nearly passed away. He's 86, came out of a coma the other day. And I'm like, Jesus, would you please give us a chance to rescue this man, because he's on the edge of life and death. And there are people in every one of our lives. There are people in our towns and in our cities, and we're looking at them and they pass us by, and we keep thinking to ourselves, if only there was some way that God would enable us to connect with them, to find a way to touch their souls, to be able to minister in a way that made a difference in their lives. I want to say that the Holy Spirit is upon us, is with us, is for us to enable us to do that. In fact, In the New Testament, when people would talk about the Holy Spirit, they were used to spirits. It wasn't they understood that spirits existed. They understood that there were spirits that had power and could make something bad or make something good, and they would take offerings just so that the spirit usually just wouldn't do something bad to them. And you have moments in the book of Ephesians, and again and again through the New Testament, and the writers will simply say things like, this spirit, it's a Holy Spirit. And what they were saying is, the spirit that I'm introducing you to, because you know different kinds of spirits, the spirit that I'm going to introduce you to, it's a Holy Spirit. And what they're saying is, it's not like any other spirit that you've ever met. The Holy Spirit is with you, and he's different to every other spirit you've ever encountered. This Holy Spirit is with you to do good. Give me an amen this morning. It's with you to do good. And so here it is this morning. And we did it as kids. You know, where I lived, this is just north side of Dublin, where I lived, right beside us, there was at old people's houses, and we would dare each other to knock on a door and run. We would dare each other to climb the wall and steal the neighbor's apples. We would dare each other, I won't even tell you some of the other things, we would dare each other. You nearly had me right there. He lost his ministry in that moment. The church was taken off him, the truth about him revealed. I think God wants to dare us by the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to dream, to begin to act, to begin to move. There's a calling upon us, CCI. There's a calling on us to believe the grace of God is something bigger than what we do on a Sunday morning. The goodness of God is stronger over our lives and over our communities than what we've believed in the past. That the goodness of God is with us to enable us to connect with people who are far from God. And that when God arrives in our lives and begins to change our hearts and begins to change the kind of people we are, when God does that and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we become something amazing, that when we walk into the room, everything changes. Everything changes when we walk into the room. And that's the way it should be. And it's not that people would look at us and say, man, since they started to go to church, they're a little bit nicer, or they curse a little bit less, or they kick the dog a little bit less often. Here's what they're going to look at us and say. They were dead, and now they're alive. They were lost, and now they've been found. They were ordinary, and now they walk in the supernatural power of God. This is the work of God upon our lives, that the Holy Spirit has come and poured himself into us so that very ordinary, messed up, run-of-the-mill people have become the grace of God to a whole community. This is the work of God, and when that takes hold of a church, it changes everything. And sometimes we've begun to think about ourselves and think about church in a way based on what we've seen in church and what we've seen other people do and what we've expected from ourselves. But when I open up the Word of God and I look at those first believers and I look at what God did inside of them, something ignites inside of me and says, God, I want all of that. Yeah. So we're going to open up our Bibles. We're in the book of Acts chapter 5. Have a look at this scripture. It's a little bit long, but it's good. Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 17. The context of the scripture is this. Peter's walking through the streets, and his shadow, they're lining the streets just in case he walks by, because his shadow is healing people. Come on, Holy Spirit Church, right? That's what it begins to look like. And everywhere they go, in all the towns, in all the synagogues, wherever people are gathered, these people are constantly talking about Jesus Christ. And they just do it without apology, without regret, without holding back, without being a nuisance, without being miserable, without being judgmental. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they're all the time talking about Jesus. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told, and they began to teach the people. And when the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported. We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Don't you love it? On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then somebody came and said, so this must be within their physical view, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. So the reason they were put in jail was because they were preaching the gospel. And they were told, don't preach the gospel anymore. We're going to throw you in jail. The second they get out of jail, they begin to talk about Jesus and the gospel. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. And they did not use force. I love this. Because they feared that the people would stone them. Praise God, when the church begins to move and to be the church, there's a level of favor with people who don't even know God because they recognize that the people of God carry something significant for the city. And so there's an awareness, there's a holy fear. We can't even lay hands on these people. And so they bring them in to question them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled, look at that word, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God. There's a little bit of a slap in the face right there, rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him. This is Peter taking it up to the next level. So here's the scripture that's unfolding in front of us. The people, the followers of Jesus are talking about Jesus all of the time. They're loving people all the time. Everywhere they go, they're just showing the life of Jesus to everybody they meet. And it's just normal. It's like 24/7. They just don't stop. Everywhere they go, they're just committed to talking about Jesus. So they get thrown in jail for doing that. The second they get out of jail, they start doing that again. And then they're brought in before the people who are in charge, who have the power to punish them. Here we have Peter, who just a little bit of time before this was shivering and terrified as to what might be done. And here he is, having preached the gospel, being told to stop, preaching it again. They say, bring him in, they're going to question you. And what do they start to do? He's starting to preach the gospel again. He just can't stop preaching the gospel. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who God has given, as a little slap in the face again, to those who obey him. In other words, he's saying to them, you do not have the Holy Spirit, but we have the Holy Spirit. Keep going. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas, a different Judas, the Galilean, appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, come on, church, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. You will not be able to stop these men. There is an unstoppable call of God over your lives. There is a call on your life to do something which no man can stop, which no court can hinder, which no person can undo. God, if God is with you, it will be as if they were fighting against God himself. And his speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and he let them go. Verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. I'm going to talk just briefly for a little while to an unstoppable church. Amen. To a group of people that cannot be hindered, who cannot be shut down, who cannot be dissuaded, who cannot be discouraged in the things of God. I want to say to you this morning that the Holy Spirit is upon you and for you and with you to enable you to do what you couldn't normally do by yourself. In fact, he's so committed to doing that in your life that even when you're not on, even when you seem to be turned off, even when you're not excited, he's going to find a way to get you there. I love the scripture in Jonah that you spoke about this morning. I love that you pulled out this thought that God was just going to get that guy Jonah there anyway. I love that at the end of the story that having preached, that he preached the worst sermon of his life. But if God is in the worst sermon of your life, come on, church. It's not about how good your sermon is. It's about the Holy Spirit that's moving in you and through you. Even on my worst day, if God is for me, who can be against me? Even when I stumble and I stutter and I can't get it together, even if it seems like, oh, I've got nothing to say or I'm just not connecting, if the Holy Spirit of God is in it, then God's going to get it over the line. Not only does God get the sermon over the line, God gets Jonah over the line. The reluctant prophet, the book finishes. Every time I read the book, I keep wondering, did he get it? Did his heart ever go from being indifferent and fearful and hard-hearted? Does he ever get it? And then one day I was just reading it. I'm like, I'm reading the book of Jonah. He wrote it down. God humbled his heart. God is able. He is the author and the perfecter, not only of the call of God upon you, but on what he's doing in you. God is with you. He is going to get you over the line. He is, if he is for you, you are the unstoppable church. We are an unstoppable movement, even when you're not on track. There's a guy in our church who's not here. He's part of SALT. A couple of years ago, he was living on the streets. And he is, I can't tell you how much I love and respect that man. And God just has turned his life around. He's going to get married in the next few months. He's doing SALT, or Academy as it's called. He's been blessed all the time. A few weeks ago, he left his house, got out of his house early in the morning. He was meant to leave at a particular time. He was late to leave his house. He was meant to go down a particular road. There was roadworks which made him go another way down his street. As he's driving down the street, he saw a man he hadn't seen in years in the middle of the street, waving his hands frantically. He pulled in the church van because he was out going to serve the church for the day. And he went with this guy and he said, "Are you okay?" The man said, "There's a lady in that house there and she is seriously sick. I think she's dying." They went into the house together. Liam walked in the door. He saw this woman, and she just looked like she was near death, very old, very, like she was in serious danger. And Liam looked at the man and he says, "I've no idea why you're on the street calling me. Obviously, what you need to do is to call an ambulance." And so the man's like, "Okay, I'll call an ambulance." After a while, the lady opens her eyes, looks at Liam, and says to him, "I've been waiting for you." He's never seen this lady before. And he thinks to himself, "Man, she's delusional. She's old. She doesn't know who I am." And she looks at him and says, "I've been waiting for you to pray for me." And he says, "I can do that." And he says, I can pray for you. And here's what we're going to pray. He says, "I'm going to pray that the ambulance is going to come. You're going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine." And she says, no, you don't understand. I need you to pray with me. I'm not right with God." He looks at her. And he begins to talk to her about Jesus. He shares the gospel with her. And as he's talking with her, she says, "I want that." And he leads her in a prayer of repentance. She gives her life to Jesus. Ambulance men are coming into the house. And she looks at him and she says, "I'll see you on the other side." Lays back her head and dies. I'm telling you, church, that the God who is with you and for you and has anointed you with his Holy Spirit is more committed to reaching lost people than you can ever understand or imagine or think. He is on the move. He is doing things. He is breathing. He is speaking. I want to say this morning, hear me, church. We are an unstoppable church, an unstoppable force. God is with us to change everything around us. And for some of us, we are so reluctant and so fearful and so anxious. I want you to know that the scripture says, Jesus says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And I've been in churches on multiple occasions where people say, that's right, when we lift him up, he will draw men. And John in his gospel simply says, what he meant by that was that when he is lifted up on the cross, he would draw all men unto himself. I want you to know the power of the cross of Jesus Christ has the power to draw even the most broken, lost, and damaged person that you will ever come across. And there is a passion in the heart of God. The book of Jonah says the words, God says to Jonah, will I not have compassion? Will I not be concerned for this city? Do you sense the heart of God to do something? And here's what we've done. We've enjoyed the presence of God in our church buildings. We've enjoyed the presence of God at the altar. And here's what God is saying to us. My presence is meant to spill out of this place. My presence is meant for your city. My presence is meant for your neighbor. My presence is meant for the whole of Ireland. These people, they were on mission 24/7. Everywhere they went to the houses, they talked about Jesus. They went to the synagogue, they talked about Jesus. They were in the streets and they talked about Jesus. Everywhere they went, they talked about Jesus simply because Jesus had so genuinely impacted and changed their lives, having forgiven their sins, adopted them into his family, and made them his children, and filled them with the Holy Spirit, that they just thought to themselves, if God has done all of this for me, how can I not talk about this all of the time? I want to say this morning, if God has done this in your life, if God has rescued you, if he has changed you, if he has forgiven you, if he's made you his child, if he has filled you with your Holy Spirit, how would you not say this morning, how could I not just keep talking about him? And so what that means for me, this is what this looks like in my life. Everywhere I go, I want to talk about Jesus. My wife, I love her. I love her a lot. And I go shopping with her, which is perhaps the greatest demonstration of love any man could ever show. I don't know what they put in the air in those places. I walk into shops and I can walk a long distance. I think I'm relatively fit. 20 minutes, I feel like I'm dying. I feel like all the strength goes out of my legs and I'm looking around for chairs. I'm looking around for somewhere to sit. And I lean against things in those places. I lean against racks and coats and my eyes glaze over and I feign interest. I'm like, I love you, Carolyn. This is great. This is fantastic. God, get me out of this. When I go shopping, I go in the door. I know what I'm doing and then I'm gone. I get the job done. I'm out of there. I have no other agenda but to get into that place and then to get out again. I've got stuff that I need to do. And God has begun to speak to me. He's begun to say to me, your primary agenda isn't to get your job done. Your primary agenda isn't to get the shopping. Your primary agenda isn't to get the next thing checked and to get in and to get out. Your primary agenda is to talk about me. Every queue that I stand in now, I'm blessed to stand in. I used to be going mad. I'd be standing in the queue, looking at the next queue, wondering which is the quicker, will I move? And why is this person in front of me so slow? And why don't they just move and shop somewhere else? These are the thoughts going through my mind. And now I'm standing in the queue, and I'm not joking. Every time I stand in the queue, I'm like, Holy Spirit, I think you've got me in this queue today for a reason. I think there's probably somebody behind me or in front of me, and I need to find a way to talk about Jesus. And I need to see them, and I need to see that they're standing there. Yesterday, I went to get the tires fixed because I was doing the long drive from Galway. It's a long drive. Galway to Dublin, got the tires, and I had to fix, and they needed to change two of the tires. I was, oh, groan, two of the tires need to be fixed. I'm going to be stuck here while they fix that. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you're not stuck here. I've put you there. There's a guy standing behind the thing, and I just began to talk to him. And he doesn't know Jesus, and he's far from God. And I just began to have a conversation with him, and I was aware that he was there. And at the end of the conversation, I'd learned all about his family, and I knew what was going on in his life, and I was aware of the challenges in his life. And I just simply finished the conversation. I looked at him, I said, would you mind if I just prayed for your family? And I don't even think he believes in God. He's an atheist. And he just looked at me, and he said, I would love that. Because everywhere we go, we're on mission 24/7. I'm in mission in Tesco's, praise God. I'm in mission in Lidl. When I go out for McDonald's, I'm on mission. Everywhere I go, I'm on mission because the Holy Spirit is upon me and this Jesus is worth talking about all the time. Wherever I go, I am his hands and his feet. I am incarnational church. I have a God who is bigger than a Sunday morning in a building. I have a God who's got compassion for a city. I have a God who's determined to move, and I'm part of an unstoppable church. And if God is for me, then who can be against me? All the time, all the time. Several years ago, my dad passed away. Some of you would have known him. Just a remarkable guy. Just so blessed to have had the dad that I had. And I heard a story, and I wasn't even aware of the story. Just before he passed away, the night before he passed away, he was out with my mom, and they were getting petrol in a petrol station. Pulled up, put in the petrol, filled it up, and as they were doing that, there was another elderly couple who couldn't get the credit card to pay for the bill. Couldn't get them to do that. And they were struggling. And so my dad did what he just typically would do. He made his way over there, and in 2 seconds, he had his credit card out. He blamed the machine, which is typical of him. He said, don't feel bad about that. And in 2 seconds, before they even knew it, he had his credit card in the machine, and he was paying for it. And as he did that, he was smiling and talking to them and making jokes. And then at the end of it, he simply told them that God loved them. Got in the car, and he went home. I only know that because my mom told me it was the last thing he did, really, before he passed away. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Did he do that because he was good? Well, he was a good guy. He really was a good guy. But he didn't do it for that reason. Did he do it because he wanted people to see it or wanted people to know? Absolutely not. I would never have known about that had he not died the next morning. He did it because he was on mission 24/7. Yeah. Wherever he went, everything he did was for the glory of God. There's a call upon us. And sometimes it starts to look like, here's something else I should be doing. And I'm not here this morning to put any guilt on you or another thing to add to your list to make you feel bad about yourself. I just want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is upon your life. And if he is with you, he enables you to do extraordinary things. And he's just looking for you to walk with him in the ordinary parts of your life. And that isn't an evangelistic program. And praise God for evangelistic programs. And it's not something that takes place in a certain place. It's all the time. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I've signed up for the greatest adventure of my life. Unstoppable church. God is good. Over every one of your lives. All the time. Amen. Praise God.